Good morning. I want to welcome everyone on this warmer Sunday, and the sun shining, brighten our hearts a little bit. A few announcements. Some are in the bulletin. Red books, if you take those and sign them and pass them down, we'd appreciate it. And you hear on our new member reception Sunday, so we're very, very excited about that, and we'll bring them up after the sermon. Remind you that the nursery is open and junior church is being held, and they're having a different program right now. Very excited about that. Deacons will meet after church in the library. Remind you that Ash Wednesday service begins at 7, and that is with communion, and we ask the elders to be here early for that. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Lent, and we'll be participating in the One Great Hour of Sharing, and someone will talk to you more about that. Additional information will be available in your bulletins. We're planning our first ever Lay Sunday. I'm very, very excited about this. This will give the congregation an opportunity to participate in the service. If you're interested in participating in some part of the service, please contact Arlie Cornelius. She's over here. Arlie, if you'll raise your hand, if someone doesn't know you. Yeah, well, I want you to raise your hand. Yeah. If somebody doesn't know her, talk to her, or you can talk to me, and maybe we'll put a sign-up sheet in the back. We're asking somebody to preach the sermon, to do the prayers, just look through your bulletin, do everything, announcements, just take over the service. I'll still be here. We'll help you with it, but I think it'll be a very, very exciting thing. So be thinking about that, and we'll do this the Sunday after Easter. And so be in prayer about that. It's time to start planning for VBS. BJ has the materials for different curriculums to look at. Anyone would like to help her with that? Suzanne Connors has been in Florida, but she'll be back and will be doing the children's sermon on February the 17th, next Sunday. Per capita, $26 per member. If you're able to pay that, we do appreciate it, because we still have to pay that out of our church budget to General Assembly, Synod, and Presbytery, which our local presbytery keeps the majority of it. And you know about the prayer and praise requests and the weather hotline. Also, the March Madness from the deacons that Kathy so eloquently told us about needs 188 pounds of food by the end of March. So start bringing that food in. And if you want to talk to her and need any more information, you can talk to Kathy here on the front row. Quick announcement, I want to start talking about this today. Some of you will pick up your Valley. Some of you have got this in email. If you've not given us your email yet, I hope that you will, if you get information a little quicker. It's a movie miniseries, 5 weeks, starting March the 3rd. And it's called, the basics of it is the journey, it's the thread of redemption throughout the whole Bible, from Genesis through Revelation. And you'll read more about it in your Valley. But I will start preaching a series on it on March the 3rd. It will end on Easter Sunday, and then the last part of the mini-series will be Easter Sunday night, about 2 hours. Each segment will be about 2 hours. It will be on the History Channel on Monday and Wednesdays, and then it will be on Lifetime on Monday night, but you'll have to check your local listing to see, because I don't want to give that right yet, because your channels and things may be different from mine, even the time may be a little bit different, so I don't know the exact time for it. But I'm very excited about it. It's got a lot of press. A lot of your big names in Christianity are putting their support behind it. I think it'll be a very good thing for our church. Now, I ordered the materials for this after the last previous session meeting, but not realizing that they were not going to send any of the information out, materials, until February the 8th. So I've not gotten anything yet. I did it on the 3-day order, so I won't get it till Monday or Tuesday to start looking at, to know whether to do a small group with it. If I look at it and it's worth it, we'll try to set one up, and maybe even Bill might do it on Sunday morning. We're talking about that. But one thing that you can do is watch the mini-series. Talk about it with your family. Maybe invite someone over to your home to watch it with you. Maybe someone that doesn't go to church, and then discuss it with them. Or just, if you only watch it yourself, and reinvigorate yourself with the Bible and the story of God. And I'm just very excited about it. So I hope that you'll take the time to watch it and look at more of the materials and do some reading when it does come out. Okay. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this morning. This is the day. It's on the screen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We appreciate the fact that people were able to see your face in Jesus. Forgive us when we turn our face away from you and others. Help us to believe that to love another person is to see your face. Remind us that we are to mirror the image of Christ. We are also called to reflect your face to the world. May we endeavor to be true disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together this morning here at Glenshaw Valley as we unite in our faith, reaffirming that faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified,
the communion of saints, the
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another, remember, while the sickness is out there. If you're not comfortable hugging or shaking hands, please don't be offended. Just a quick announcement, Lynn Love and our choir waved everybody, good, is requesting all reports, bank statements, and receipts. Oh boy, don't make me hunt you down. Should do it in love, though. So anybody needs to get those reports in, let's work on them, make her life easier. Amen. Very lovely, very lovely. Responsive reading, Christian Love 661. If you're here last Sunday, you recognize this passage. It's what I preached on the whole chapter. 661, Christian Love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Thank you, and I invite Elder Cliff Huff up to present the prayers.
We have three prayer requests today. The first is from Kathy Sagey for her daughter Becca Sagey. She needs physical therapy on her elbow and still has the concussion symptoms. We have prayers that she heals soon. Next is from Evelyn Pointer, and a prayer for her son, Gary Yarber. He's suffering from COPDs. Please give him his prayers. Last, we have a prayer from Christine Gill for her friend, Ruth Ann. Ruth is at UPMC, who has been admitted with kidney failure. Please pray to save her kidney and keep her family strong.
Thank you. And somehow I failed to see this one last week. Got left on the altar. I want to make sure this, I don't know if it got announced or not. So Gerald Thompson, continued prayers for Hilda too. Gerald has a tumor on the left side of his neck and going through radiation. So let's make sure that we pray for him, and I'll be contacting them. Also, remember to peruse the back of your bulletin and names are there. Also, we had a call from John Croyle this morning, was going to sing with the choir, and he fell and hurt himself, so he's not here. An email from someone for a silent prayer, and so we'll be praying for them. And then two friends of mine are in kind of bad condition, so I would like prayers for them also, and God knows who they are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, leading you into the Lord's Prayer, of course, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let's bow a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with a sense of awe at times and amazement that you have the power and the ability and the love to create all of this creation and humanity, and to see us in our sin and then provide a way out because of your love. You gave us Jesus Christ, and you gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us as individuals, but to empower the church to do your work, and not for our own self-aggrandizement, but for you, for your glory, that you might be built up and the people might come to know you and find salvation and eternal life. Help us this day reflect who you are to the world. When people see us in our word and our deed, our actions, our mannerisms, all that we do, whether at home or at church or at work or out at play or in driving. Help us to act as Christians. Help us to live that life, to soak it up, to be more spiritual in all that we do, reminding ourselves that if we truly are Christians, then we need to live that responsible life. We realize that we are not perfect. It's not always easy. But the more that we come to you in prayer and fellowship and study and worship, help us to grow, to move from the milk to the meat of the Word. Help us, Lord. Give us a desire to truly grow. We pray for one another as part of the body of Christ worldwide. We pray for our brothers and sisters that sit next to us, that are not here today, that have asked for prayer, silent prayer, persons that might not even know that we are praying for them. We lift them up to you, reminding you that we care about them. We know that you do, but we remind you. We ask that their needs are met in love and compassion. And where we can help, use us as instruments of healing. Remind us that we are to be Christ-like, that we are to be healers with our words, our deeds, our actions, everything that we do. Help us, Lord, to love. Help us to be graceful and merciful. Help us, Lord, each and every one of us, as individuals and as the church here at Glenshaw Valley. We look at your disciples and know that they were not all perfect, and we will never be perfect. But help us to continue to grow. Help us to move forward in all that we do. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, 505, a good old standard, Love Lifted Me. Thank you. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for coming into this world. We thank you for the cross, for what it means to each of us, paying the debt that we could not pay. We start getting ready for Lent, and we start thinking about the sins that have been in our life, the salvation that you have given to us. We're so thankful. And then giving us gifts to live our lives, to make it a joyful life in our homes and our places of work and our hobbies and then within the church. Lord, bless us this day for the gifts that we use for your glory, and help us to be a blessing to others through love and mercy and forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving us. In the precious name of Christ our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Thank you. Bill coming forward to read this scripture, a little confusing.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. In today's scripture, Paul references the veil that was worn by Moses in Exodus 34, 29 through 35. Moses wore this veil because when he came down from the mountain and when he came out from meeting directly with God, he had to wear a veil. For the people were afraid when they saw his radiance. Paul contrasts that situation, the law of the Old Testament, with the New Testament, where we are invited to have a relationship with Christ, to take that veil away, to see Christ directly. So Paul says, instead of hiding behind a veil, we should let the glory of God shine through us so that our relationship with Jesus will be known to the world. So now in 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through the end, and then 4:2 crosses two chapters. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say that one. Please find your own personal message as I read. Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with everlasting glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Please bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
One of those times, kind of given the sermon two titles, Facebook or Face to Face. In the 2000 drama film, Social Network portrayed many interesting features of Mark Zuckerberg's development of his online creation that so many of you are hooked on and use on a daily basis or every few days or some for every week. But they missed one big thing, the name he chose for his baby, Facebook. Let's face it, humans are obsessed with the unique defining nature of our faces, the arrangement of our eyes, our noses, our chin, our cheeks, our foreheads never cease to amaze and fascinate us. More than 5,000 distinguishable facial expressions have been identified. That is probably just a start on the human face. An 18th century German satirist, George Lichtenberg, called the human face the most entertaining surface on earth. How could we possibly resist pursuing and endlessly perusing an online site called Facebook? We recognize faces and enemies by their face. Bank robbers wear masks to hide their faces, knowing full well that no matter how clear the pictures of their bodies might be, without a full view of their face, they cannot be accurately identified. And when the Protestant reformers came across images of saints and even the Virgin Mary, they defaced them on paintings that had their faces gouged out in carvings and sculptures. Babies look at faces, learning how to put the pieces together and how to learn to trust the familiar. And they reject and be fearful of the unfamiliar. It is our human DNA to look at the faces of others for critical life-preserving information. We find ourselves in the faces of others, says Shir Huckstepf in her novel, The Summer Without Men. We really become human through our relationship with other people. Long before virtual life, human beings were living Facebooks. Our language, I think, reflects this fixation. We speak of taking things at face value, or of doing an about face, or facing off against an opponent. Face cards carry the most value, and to stand face to face with another signifies being in the most valued of positions. One of the most recognized or advanced new computer identification techniques is the science of facial recognition. I have some of it on my computer. Computer programs that can scan and identify individual faces without any other physical information. In the transfiguration scene described in this week's gospel text out of Luke 9, which is the parallel scripture, Jesus' face shines. He is transfigured or transformed by a glorious presence. God's glory is manifested physically upon Jesus' face, the focal point of his humanity. Jesus' face shone so gloriously and so illuminated that even his clueless disciples could see and report its radiant nature. In the epistle text for this week, Paul recalls another transfiguration scene with a glory-gleamed face. The face of Moses, after he was finished conversing with God on the mountain and after he had received the commandments from the Lord. When he came down from the mountain, the Bible says Moses' face shone with the wonderful wattage of God's glory. Can you imagine? It was so obvious the people were afraid to approach Moses because of his transfigured face. So Moses veiled himself, veiled the glory, played down the face-to-face encounter with the Lord. Instead, the people focused on the laws. They focused on the tablets, on the guidelines that God had given them when he really wanted a relationship with the people. In other words, the glory of God's presence and ultimate purpose was screened, veiled from public view. In Exodus 33:20, God warns Moses that he cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. And God hides Moses in the cleft of a rock so that all the spies of God is his back and not God's face. Yet elsewhere throughout the Old Testament, the faithful are encouraged to seek out the face of God. 1 Chronicles 16, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. 2 Chronicles 7, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then they will hear me from heaven. Psalm 27, when thou said, seek my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Psalm 105, seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face evermore. It seems unlikely that these texts would be offered as a death wish, telling us to seek God's face, and then he would destroy us if we seek his face or see his face. The point is that these texts urge those faithful to the Lord to seek his face, to be on a continual quest for that moment of face-to-face recognition, knowing that God is a part of our lives and that God is real and that God is faithful. Seeking God's face, getting a glimpse, a shadow, a suggestion, to hear that tiny voice or that calm voice speak to you, and that you know that God is alive and well and a part of your life. The spiritual quest calls his faithful to follow him. Paul's assertion is that we now have the most powerful of guides on this quest, no less than the human face of God in the form and the spirit of Jesus Christ himself will guide us on this journey to find the face of our Heavenly Father. The Spirit is present in us and present to us in the body of Christ, the incarnate presence of the Lord. Through the incarnation of Christ's Spirit, we are invited to a sneak preview, if you will, of God's image through the church worldwide, and even the church here, specifically at Glenshaw Valley. Okay, we're still not gazing directly into God's face. There are some powers that our frail bodies just cannot withstand. During a total eclipse, astronomers recommend that we observe this remarkable event through a reflection, a mirror of the actual event. You've done it as children. In that way, the frailty of the human body can be protected while the yearning of the spirit can be fulfilled. To see that eclipse, but not directly, but mirrored. That is what every believer does to every other member for the body of Christ. We reflect, we mirror image Christ's presence, the very face of God, to each other and to the world. Like mirrors, the Christ body community, the church, made up of people, you and I, is not a perfect representation. There will always be ripples and distortions and disjunctions. But the reflection is still there and shows the world what hopefully we might be, what we can become as the church. As disciples, each of us have been transfigured if we've accepted Christ by our sacred encounter with the Holy Spirit and by the personhood of Jesus Christ. We are definitely, definitively different when we've accepted Christ into our lives because we've been called to reflect the face of God to the world. And this is an awesome responsibility for each one of us to live our lives like Christ calls us to live it. Our humanity has been transfigured into a life that reflects the radiance of God's presence as a face that God puts forward to the world. God is not here to do it. Jesus is not here to do it. You and I are here to do it. Jesus is the face of God in human form. Then as Christians, we become the face of God to the world. Yet a major irony of Christianity is that we who have been sent by Jesus in the world as transfigured people do not cease being ordinary people. Vessels of clay, even though we are entrusted with a gospel of gold that can change people's lives. We show forth a glory that is not ours, the greatness found in the gift and the giver, not in us. But we point to the one. What is this face we are called to present to the world? Throughout the Gospels, Paul's writing and all the other epistles, there's one overwhelming facial quality that is extolled. One main one. And that is love. Love. Love God. Love neighbor. Love others. Love is patient and kind. It's not boastful or envious. Love rejoices in the truth. Love endures all things. Love never ends. Glory for the Jesus follower is not fame and splendor and perks and honor and acclaim and look at me. Glory is goodness and beauty and love and the promise of eternal life and the happiness of serving God. The big time movie winner of this winter is Les Miserables. Some of you have seen it. It's a musical based on a 200-year-old novel about France. Doesn't sound like it would translate to the 21st century to me, but people tell me it does. I've not seen it myself yet. But they say it does. And the musical highlight of the show reveals that the novel, play, and movie has never been about history, really, or politics, or economics. It is the final musical number that the three heroes together sing together about that which has transformed, that which has transfigured their lives from ones of desperation to hopes of higher aspirations. And they sing, "Take my hand and lead me to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting. And remember the truth that once was spoken, to love another person is to see the face of God." Do you really get that? To love another person is to see the face of God. Charles Wesley, the brother of the founder of the Methodist Church, expressed the essence of this in the class meetings when there was so much class division in his time. At meetings of friends, which began as a testimony to the love that binds those who together seek his face. It says, "All praise to our redeeming Lord, who joins us by his grace and binds us each to each restored together. Seek his face." Face to face. We need, as the church worldwide and the church at Glenshaw Valley, to seek the face of God as the community. We need to do it with a sense of unity together in love, to find the face of God and to show that face to our community and to one another. True love. May we seek God and God's people from a heart that has been transfigured to one of love. May God bless you. Amen. At this time, we're going to present the new members. Cliff, would you do me a favor and realize I can't be two places at once. I didn't do the clicker. Would you do this for me as I call the people up? Got the PowerPoint with their photos up. First is Connie Wagner. If you'll come up and stand to my left here, and y'all just line up, and then you'll stay up, and then when we do the benediction, you can sit down and come back and give you as members a chance to welcome them. Connie Wagner just lives down on 1534 Butler Plank Road. She was a clerk, and she's coming in by reaffirmation of faith. She's been a member here before and kind of dropped out of church and now has come back, and we are very excited to have her back. She's been attending here regularly now for, I don't know, several years now, and finally made the determination to join, so we're very, very excited about that. And if I say anybody's name wrong, please correct me. This is the time to do it, or we'll all be calling you the wrong name. Tom Balak? I say it again? Belbach. Let's see, I've been saying it wrong all this time. Belbach. B-A-L-B-A-C-H. He's a broadband technician. I won't tell you which one. You'll be asking him all kind of questions. he grew up Catholic. He's coming in by reaffirmation, and he's my neighbor down on Rose Drive, and we met. Our dogs don't like each other, but we like each other. I got a Dobie, he's got a Pit, and both are nice dogs, but they just don't like each other for whatever reason. But I invited him to church, and we had some things in common, and he started coming. He likes camping and racing and biking. And he said he'd be willing to do some occasional church repair, and Jim Teggy's already jumped on him. So, and he said he would provide some transportation, maybe some kitchen duties at the luncheon if he's able, and occasional gardening. So we'll probably use you for some of those things too. And we'll file these in the office with their pictures. And I've taken their pictures to put on the back and in the newsletter and everything. Donna Lyons, I hope I got these in the right order. Yes, I meant to check that. She's retired. She said she had driven by this church many times and this, wanted to come in and finally did. She's like me. She grew up Methodist, and she made the switch, and she's coming in. So reaffirmation of faith. And she lives on 1710 Main Street. In Sharpsburg, thank you, and said she could help with some kitchen cleanup if available, depending on her work schedule. Even though she's retired, she's taking on some part-time work. So that's reaffirmation of faith also. Sandy Salmon, she's coming in by reaffirmation. Sandy was actually a member and sang in the choir when I first became pastor in October of 1990. So I've known Sandy for a long time. She's cook and manager of a store of waiters. I believe you retired now, you said. And so she can come to church now, which for a long time she couldn't. Lives on Grand Avenue down in Edna, has a son, George. And says she just loves being with her grandchildren. That's her hobby right now, and that's probably full time. So we're thankful for Sandy. And our friend, Linda Schindler, saying that right? Yeah. And she's a secretary. She's coming in affirmation of faith. She grew up Catholic, but never really a part of it. She lives on Alma Street, Pittsburgh, 15223 Zip, with Joe and Ashley and TJ and Michael. She likes camping and dancing and exercising and playing with her grandson. So we're very excited to have them. They read the pamphlets that I hand out about church, and we had a short meeting, not quite as long as I usually have because we were having a dinner. I wanted to go feed them. I knew they'd get angry at me if I didn't get them fed. So we'll try to catch them up on anything that they didn't, and I'll be writing some articles for the Valley about what it is to be a Presbyterian too. Now, I went over these questions in the office, and I'm going to ask them in front of you. I like to do this, even though some of them are coming in reaffirmation and don't necessarily have to answer these questions, but I think it's nice to do it. And if you're able to, you would say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Who is your Lord and Savior? Okay. Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love? I do. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? I will. Okay. You are disciples of Jesus Christ. He has commissioned you. Live in him, love, and serve him. I want to be the first to welcome you with my cold hands here as the members of Glenshaw Valley. The session met with them, voted on them, and you're now full members in good standing of Glenshaw Valley. You can vote in our congregational meetings. You can serve on councils and boards and do all the things that all these other smiling faces can do. So let's welcome them. So if you'll just have a seat somewhere on the front, and then after the benediction, I'm going to have you stand back and let the congregation welcome you, if you will. Thank you, Cliff. Our closing hymn of response, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, 335. As you go from this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt loved. I hope that you feel like that you can see the face of God, that you can see it in those that surround you within this sanctuary and out in the world and other Christians, that you can recognize others who have the love and the joy of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go out into the world and share this love. Go out and share this relationship and share it here with one another. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.